Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's shaking?
Oh, man, the heat. That's what's shaking.
The heat or shaking. The heat. We're on fire. The heat is on fire, however you want to say it. We were all over the heat early and often, and it paid off miraculously.
You know what's funny is I actually was talking about the weather.
Oh.
Had no clue that I didn't even really put two together that we also the basketball team. But
yes. Well, we haven't done a podcast in a while because, honestly, not a ton going on in the sports gambling world. We'll still be here to crank one out. Definitely got to just continue to brag about our Heat finals pick. I mean, we were all over this Heat team. When the line came out for the series at plus 155, we were screaming at the top of our podcast lungs.
It seems silly.
I'm still trying to see where you rationalize this. Maybe plus 125, but plus 155? You have two of maybe the top 50 players of all time in NBA history on the same team?
It seemed high. I mean, I don't know. Especially when you're favoring a team that hadn't been there before.
None of their, like, big guys. I mean, has Harden been to a championship?
No one. I mean, they've all played for the Thunder.
Yeah, Perkins was in 08.
Yeah,
right?
It seems like a silly thing to say, but it seems like experience helps in the NBA.
Oh, definitely. I mean, experience pays off in the NBA playoffs to a degree. Obviously, you get teams like the Spurs that get caught kind of basically the changing of the guard. The new guys finally get enough swagger to knock you out. But you can't underestimate the experience going into the finals. Now, obviously, teams like the 08 Celtics just immediately comes to mind that came in and won the championship with not a lot of title experience. It can happen. But still, I'm racking my brain to think why the Heat, they had the best regular season record, looked pretty solid in the playoffs, and they were getting plus 155. Didn't they have the best record in the NBA? Or was it the
Spurs did.
Spurs did. But either way, they were right up there. I was just surprised at how low that line was. Part of me was a little bit worried, but then after they lost that first game, I talked on the podcast, I said, hey, maybe there's some value in betting the Heat after they lose this first game. But then I was like, well, what if they win the first game? So I threw some money on before the series kicked off. And then after game one, the line that we got shifted to plus 215. And
I think it was 230 at one point.
Wow.
It seems like they overreacted a little bit.
Well, I got on that 215, and cannot complain. Plus 215 on that Heat team, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And they won three in a row there, which had not been done since the 06 Heat. It's kind of an interesting little factoid. It is hard to win three games in a row like that, but I think the Heat realized, hey, we're not letting them. Because if that would have went back to Oklahoma City, that's almost a whole new series right there.
I still don't get why they do that 2-3-2 bullshit. I mean, we're in the age where, like, these teams all have their own, like, chartered airplanes. We don't need to have this, like, oh, it's for the travel. Cut down on travel. The 2-2-1-1-1 is a much better format.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys were getting two games off in between a lot of the playoff games, so.
Yeah, I mean, they'd play Tuesday, Thursday, and then Sunday?
Yeah,
something like that?
I don't, it's weird. I like the 2-2-1-1-1 just for the dramatic aspect.
Yeah, it seems
more
balanced.
It's fun to, like, you win one, then you gotta go to the other guys,
Just think of it this way. You hold court for the first four, now it's a three-game series where it's 1-1-1, not one, then two. I don't know.
Yeah, it throws off the rhythm, and especially all the other series are played that way. Why change it up just for the finals? Doesn't make sense.
That's like baseball. So baseball, going forward, when they add the extra wild card, the best team versus the winner of the wild card play-in game, it's going to be a 2-3 format where the wild card team gets the first two games and the better team gets the last three.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's like, so theoretically, they could go down, they're supposed to go down 2-0. I don't get it. I don't see how that favors the better team.
No, I mean, the 2-3-2, I think, definitely hurts the team getting the three in a row because, like we just said, statistically, it's been proven as well that it's just tough to win three games in a row. Obviously, the Heat did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan. But we did win copious amounts of money.
Why is it a 2-3-2 format, Ryan? That's a clown question, all right? I'm not going to answer these clown questions.
Are you quoting one Bryce Harper?
Well, yeah, it was Bryce Harper. But then I was also thinking about the Jim Rome, David Stern moment where they got into it with each other. Jim Rome just – he even prefaced it. He's like, listen, I know you're a fan of conspiracy theories, but is the –
Oh, that was you're talking about the Wilbon one?
No, I'm talking about Jim Rome interviewing David Stern.
Oh, Wilbon asked the identical question during halftime of one of the games, and he basically said the same thing. Like, there's been many conspiracy theories or conspiracies in your time. How do you answer the claims of this New Orleans getting the first pick? And he basically didn't answer the question, but
I mean, it is stupid.
Oh, he went on to say how much transparency there is in the NBA, and it's like, well, if you're gonna have transparency, why don't you draw the balls out of a hopper like a bingo game, not have the envelopes already sealed with the number of the pick on them?
It's weird. I honestly don't. I'm not a big fan of conspiracy theories. I don't think there's so much that could be lost for David Stern to risk it. And I don't think they care that much as far as who gets what play. I don't know. I'm just not.
New Orleans was the second worst record, right? This wasn't crazy.
No, but you could almost – this year was a crazy year because you could make a conspiracy theory for a lot of teams. Like, oh, okay, the Nets got it. Oh, okay. Yeah, they're moving to the new stadium. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, of course they got to give it to Michael Jordan. They want to try and save that franchise. Oh, okay. Oh, New Orleans got it. Okay. Well, they're owned by the NBA. And they could just alleviate all these allegations and just conspiracy theories if you just draw the balls live. Why is it?
That'd be more entertaining, too.
Why not make it a TV event? Is ESPN not going to cover this?
I don't know. I mean, what about the NBA makes you think they're really good at making good decisions and progressing?
It's just weird. Speaking of making good decisions and progressing, finally the BCS set up a four-team playoff starting off 2014. I'm kind of excited. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to definitely add a level. Yeah, will there be people bitching about who got in the top four, who is the third or fourth team? Sure. But at the end of the day, Ryan?
Yeah, but in basketball, there's teams bitching because they're the 69th team. You know, you're not going to ever have the end of bitching, but
I think four is a good number for college football, and it lets in some interesting one-win teams.
It's going to get interesting when they finally get to the true. This is a good step because it gets them on the right path to 16. They really need to get to 16 because then that allows them to have every conference winner. I mean, obviously the conferences could change, but as is now, I believe there's 10 major conferences. You have the Big Six plus four of the mid-majors.
That would be really awesome if they did.
So you have the top 10, and then you have six wild cards. Now, as is, it appears that we're going to end up with like four super conferences. So then that would work well with an 8-team playoff. You have the four conference winners with four wild cards.
Yeah, the four, or just the four top two from each conference. So even basically, some of these, I guess if they turn to four super conferences, but still, you have a chance to, if you crack in the top two, and I still think that makes the regular season meaningful. I don't see.
And not to mention, there's a lot of talk that when they get to these 16-team conferences, there'll be four divisions in each conference, and the playoff, there'll be actually a two-round playoff in each conference. So you'd essentially have like a four-round playoff, four or five.
I think, in my mind, I think 16 is too many. I think 12 may, you know, I would like to see, I think really 10, the top 10 teams in college football, top two get a first round bye, and then you just play the rest out. I think 10 would be a good number, but we'll see. Sometimes they get greedy, and then they try to do too many teams, but we'll see. Feeling pretty good about the new BCS playoff system. Ryan, we are about to head over, watch the Los Angeles Dodgers take on R.A. Dickey and the New York Mets. Pretty interested in seeing this R.A. Dickey character. How's your baseball bets going so far? The Phillies not looking good. I'm really sweating out my Phillies season over bet of 92 games. Not looking great right now.
Stop this. You're not sweating anything. It's a loss.
No. Why would I get?
It's a loss. Then you'll get excited if you win. There's no sweat going on. You can't feel good about the bet right now.
No, why would I feel good? They're five games below 500. But if they get to 500 by the All-Star break, like I said, then I still have some hope.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
How are your season totals looking, Ryan?
So far, so good. A couple of the early ones, like the Houston under and the Baltimore under, which looked horrible, they're starting to come back to reality. Same with the Yankees over. I think right now, I don't know how many I disclosed on this podcast, but I have 11 totals, and I'm currently on pace to go 8-3, I believe.
Nice.
So yeah, not doing as well in the player props, but and then of course I have the one recommendation I know I talked about was the Cleveland Indians to win the Central at 7-1. They're still in the hunt. Detroit doesn't look like the team that everyone thought they were going to be. The White Sox are currently in first. So I'm
alive. I think we're definitely hitting on to something. I mean, you saw.
We definitely recommended the Detroit under, which is a lock at this point.
And I think we recommended the Cardinals over, right?
That's not as much of a lock. I mean, that's they started hot, but they cooled off a little since then.
Now, what about the Angels? We said take the under there. Basically, we're playing against these.
I didn't actually play the Angels, but yeah, I definitely would have taken the under. It was 92.5. They've been hot of late, though. Pujols has heated up. They're catching the Rangers. So it will be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Now, your New York Yankees recently went on a long winning streak. How do you feel about their season?
I mean,
do you see them coming in win total wise?
They'll come. I mean, they'll win 95 to 100 games. Sabathia and Pettit going down hurts, but Boston, Toronto, and Baltimore aren't going to be there this year. So it's a two-horse race between them and Tampa. And I don't know. It's interesting. Like, the Dodgers looked like there was no chance they were going to lose the division. They've already lost the lead in the division.
What are they, 1-11 in their past 12 games?
They're
something
a game
crazy.
Back of the Giants, which seems crazy if you look
at how
they started.
Yeah, but look, do you have their last 10 there?
Yeah, I can pull that up.
I'm pretty sure it's like 1-9. I saw that it's like 1-11.
When you have they rely so heavily on Ethier and Kemp. They're both out of the lineup.
What are they hurt with?
Kemp's got, I don't know, some sort of injury. They both have some sort of injury. Dodgers are 1-9 in their last 10.
Wow.
Lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, they just do not look.
And they're still they're still, what, 9 games over 500? Pretty impressive. They started really
well. They were
hot.
Starting out on fire. Was that Kemp that got off to the really hot hitting streak?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you had Kemp in any sort of these player totals for the season, you're just licking your chops right there. But it's tough.
It's funny. I had him versus Pujols. I had him like plus 10 RBIs versus Pujols, and that looked like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's coming back to where it's actually in question.
Really? What's the RBI total right now?
I'm not sure, but I know it's – in fact, I think Pujols is on pace to beat him at this point.
Wow.
Minus 10.
And cover the 10?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But, I mean, that's the story of Matt Kemp. He last year he stayed healthy. He's never really stayed healthy before that.
All right, Ryan. I feel like we're kind of worked it out there in baseball. Let's just do a quick lightning round of the week one NFL lines. I can't help myself. These are unofficial picks. Obviously, lines are going to be shifting a lot, but I don't know, man. I was on the site the other day, and I just saw those NFL lines, had a click over on them. Unfortunately, there's no line currently for the Hall of Fame game, which is, I think we're only talking like 37 days away.
Yeah, probably a month, right? It's usually the first weekend in August.
Yeah, I think it's like August 4th or 6th.
All right, so let's run it down. No preseason lines yet, obviously, as camps haven't started, but opening game Wednesday.
Now,
Giants, Cowboys, Giants -3, -125.
Wow, I saw it as -120. Either way, give me the Giants. Super Bowl champs -3 at home. That feels great. I guess your counter argument is if you're taking the Cowboys, you're thinking Cowboys always start off well. And traditionally the Giants don't start off well. Maybe a little bit of the Super Bowl hangover, as it's come to be known.
But this is maybe this is the year Tony Romo gets it together.
Well, Ryan, I feel like we fell in this trap last year when we took the Saints to upset the we took the Saints to upset the Packers, right? In Green Bay, or what was the
we did take the Saints. I think it was +4.
Yeah, it was real close.
They lost by, what, a touchdown?
Six or seven. It was real close. We had a chance of hitting that. But I think my new rule is going to be opening night, take the Super Bowl champ and just ride that out. Especially a line as low as 3 points. As much as I hate the New York faggot Giants, you gotta give it up. I mean, you're at home laying -3 on an opening night primetime game. That's
raising the banner, getting the rings.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you know who's going to be in attendance for sure? One Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor get another standing ovation for beating another rape charge.
Yeah.
The team will be fired up. I don't know, man. I don't see how they lose this game. I mean, well, obviously there's a million things that could happen between now and then, but give me the Giants -3. I'm assuming you're going the same way on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 3.5 point spread.
Yeah, at least give the Cowboys the hook. Make me think.
It should be at least. So then we're moving on Sunday, 10 a.m. Speaking of which, did you see the NFL officially push back the time of their late games to 4:25 Eastern?
Exactly. Chasing that money, NFL.
To allow their excuse is so that people don't miss the end of the early games, but really it's so we can get our late action in.
Yeah. No, really they know guys are chasing money or maybe they're waiting for a bet
waiting
to
for
cash.
Cash. Yeah.
And then they're... Or the wait to see, like, well, I'm down 200. I can't be down 300. I got to wait and see if this hits, and then I can bet that extra 100. The NFL is no dummy when it comes to incorporating sports gambling, making things easier for the
Colts
betting public.
Traveling to Soldier Field, getting 10.
Wow.
Call me crazy. Typically, these big spreads early are bad bets, but the Colts were horrible last year. Why do we think they're going to be any better against a really good Bears team?
Okay, Ryan. I'll take Chicago -10.
I'm going to give you. Let me finish my. This should be 13 or 14. Why is it not 13 or 14?
I'll give you the argument against it. The argument against it is that there's no tape on their quarterback.
On the rookie quarterback.
Exactly. In the same way that Cam Newton came in, I think he pushed that opening Arizona spread. I won because I bought the half point. Arizona laid 6.5, but he pushed that 7 point spread on the road in Arizona. Now, obviously, I think the Chicago Bears are a much better team than Arizona, and you can't really compare that. But what they're banking on is, you know, he's coming into the league. He's going to have a great opening day. They're going to get some garbage touchdown because the kid's got a rocket arm.
All right,
but to me, it makes no sense.
All right, Sean. Over under 13 points, the closing spread in this game.
I think
no crazy injuries.
I mean, unless we see something crazy in the preseason, I think that'll eventually get pushed up. I think the line opened that early just because they're taking action off of crazy drunk Colts fans that are excited about him being the next
Peyton
Manning. That's the only logic I can think of, or just people getting overhyped for it.
All right, Eagles traveling to Cleveland, laying a ridiculous 8.5 points.
Oh, wow.
I feel like when we started talking about this, it was like 6.
Yeah, no, I liked it when it was under a touchdown, and it was 6 at one point. I mean, I guess I got to say I'm going to take the Eagles, but all logic, if I was picking this unemotionally, I would say take Cleveland, but that's a tough bet to lay.
It's a week 1 8.5 point dog. I mean, that's
yeah. But then you talk about rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think he's in a way worse situation. We'll see.
All right, Bills traveling to the Jets. Bills getting 4 for some reason. Why is this not 3? Did Mark Sanchez get good?
I don't know. Give me the Jets here -4.
I'll
not
take
a huge
Buffalo.
Fan of it.
All right, Skins traveling to New Orleans. Skins getting 9.5. God, I almost...
Well, now this is another one of the things. Is it we don't know what to do without our coach, or is it an FU game? It's an FU game.
Is Drew Brees going to show up to camp?
Right. I mean, this line is pretty tough. We'll see how soured things have gotten in the situation, but actually, I don't know.
God, I forgot how hard it is to bet on football.
Right. I guess give me the Skins 9.5 now that I think about it a little bit more.
All right. Pats traveling to Tennessee, laying 7. That's tough, too.
Yeah. Give me Tennessee plus seven.
At home, though. That's a big spread.
No, against an AFC opponent, give me Tennessee plus seven at home.
They might be baiting us, giving us the full seven, because that's 6.5 you probably on the Patriots.
Yeah. They're crafty, man.
Jacksonville traveling to Minnesota plus 4.5. What a shit fest this is.
Give me Minnesota.
Minnesota. Peterson is apparently on pace to make it for week one. He's a freak athlete. Percy Harvin was quoted as saying that they went out and ran sprints, and Peterson was beating them all at sprints.
That's
like
insane.
4 months off of ACL surgery.
I mean, I hope he does. I hope he gets back. I'm kind of a fan of the guy. He plays hard.
All right, Miami traveling to Houston. Houston laying 7 at home. Easy money. Give me Houston.
Yeah.
Miami's going to be in shambles. I mean,
well, but Miami is a good road team, and we'll see who they start. Who are they going to start at quarterback?
They're going to screw up Matt Moore's confidence with this Tannehill character. I don't know.
I thought they had I've been like a Matt Moore proponent for some reason, so
he's still
weird picking against him. But
Jaws likes him too.
Houston, I think, is going to have a good opening week. -7. We'll take Houston.
Now this might be early lock of the week. St. Louis traveling to Detroit, laying 9 points. Detroit's laying 9 points. Call me crazy. Give me St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. You give Jeff Fisher a whole year to prepare.
Detroit is so overrated.
And it's a dome team and going to another dome.
Yep.
9 points is a lot. I think it's a classic win, don't cover here by the Lions.
Wow. Another one here coming up. Kansas City hosting the Atlanta Falcons, getting a point. In Arrowhead. Matt Ryan on the road? No, thank you. Kansas City plus one.
I'll take Atlanta.
Oh, thank you. I'll bet you straight cash, homie.
Romeo Crennel. It's all coming to an end.
All right. You're right. Matt Ryan's a great road quarterback. All right. Niners traveling to Green Bay. Wow. First late game. Green Bay -6.5. That's
wow.
An interesting. That's a big spread for a San Francisco team that just played in the conference championship.
And known for their defense. What were you saying last year? I don't know if it really helped out, but you're not taking the Niners laying a big spread. But I guess they're getting a big spread.
I'll take the Niners getting a big spread, especially. I don't know. I feel like the Packers. I don't know.
The Niners are a pretty solid road team. 6.5 feels a little high.
The Packers have been great for 2 years now. Their offense has been pretty tough to stop, but I don't think they can maintain it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, obviously you want the half point.
They don't really have a running game. I don't know. Yeah, 7 would be great, but I might even take the 6.5.
Yeah.
All right, Carolina traveling to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay getting 3 at home. Cam Newton getting some respect, I guess.
Tampa Bay getting 3 at home?
Tampa Bay getting 3 at home.
Yeah. I mean, Tampa Bay, well, yeah, I'll take Carolina. I don't know. I mean,
that's
obviously.
This feels like a trap to me. I think this usually is the Colts-Texans game where the Colts are laying like 2 or 3 in Houston. I'm going to take Tampa.
All right. I'll go with Carolina.
We'll see how these change as the summer progresses. Seattle at Arizona. Who gives a shit? Seattle at Arizona. Arizona -1.5.
I mean, if Kevin Cobb's starting,
yeah,
I can't bet.
Yeah, that's the rule.
On.
If Kevin Cobb is starting, we're betting the Seahawks, right?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Broncos hosting the Steelers. Sunday night football. Broncos -1 at home.
Against the Steelers?
Yeah.
They beat them with fucking Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I like Broncos everything. If we're talking like 4 or 5, maybe 6, Broncos anything up to 3 points, I feel like you got to grab this.
Yep, I'm
Peyton
with you.
Manning plays big in big games. I think this Pittsburgh franchise has hit the wall, man.
This line is going to be 3.
I think this Pittsburgh team has hit the wall, Ryan. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I mean,
their window's fast.
Their old line, I mean, who knows? Their old line has been shaky.
Roethlisberger's going back to school. That's fucking crazy.
All right. Cincy traveling to Baltimore. Little interdivision rivalry. Baltimore laying 6.5.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah.
All right. Give me Cincy. I don't like the Cincy team, but 6.5 is too high for a division.
See, the thing is, you know, the difference between 4 and 6.5, not a ton. But yeah, it does seem high. Since he seems to be a team on the rise, and I just don't like Joe Flacco. And then it seems like this game is played every year, Week One in Monday Night Football. You can probably guess it. I mean, we've kind of ruled out the other teams, but
Oakland, San Diego,
of course. Why do they refuse to not this late Monday Night Football?
The West Coast Monday Night game is an awful idea.
It'll be like the Niners. Who knows? Anyway, San Diego traveling to Oakland, laying a point. So San Diego stunk last year, and it doesn't seem like they're really going to get much better. I'm not sure. Now,
two
Oakland,
crappy teams.
Carson Palmer.
Hey, two crappy teams. Give me the home team minus one.
Plus one.
Oh, they're getting one? Yeah, give me the.
Yeah.
I'll take that. All right, Ryan. Looking forward to the NFL action. You have some comments on soccer you'd like to air briefly?
Well, we should point out that I recommended that everyone take Italy. I don't remember if it was 15-1 or 11-1 when I recommended it. I grabbed it at 15-1 pre-tournament. And of course, they're in the finals playing Spain. Now, what I would recommend is, I think the bet is to take the tie. Take the regular time tie at plus 220. Italy plays, Spain's going to play a lot of keep away and be really conservative. Italy plays defense and counterattacks. I think this game goes into extra time, if not penalty kicks. So I'm going to recommend everyone take the plus 220 on the tie.
Wow. You heard it here first. Europa picks.
Not only that, this is how much the over-under is, 1.5. I mean,
hammer that under.
Plus 150.
Really?
Yeah. So I would recommend the tie and the under. I just think Spain's style is they play keep away and go after you when they have a shot. Italy doesn't give you shots, and they only counterattack. I don't think Italy's going to see the ball much. I think Spain's going to be passing around. I really think this is going to be a 0-0 tie at the end of the 90 minutes.
You heard it here first. Europa picks.
What else is going on, Sean? We got the British Open in a couple weeks.
British Open coming up. And, Ryan, can you bet on the Olympics?
Duh.
All right, so
of course you can bet on the Olympics.
Can you bring up any preliminary Olympic betting
lines?
Here's
what we got. We got most medals. So this is any medal, bronze, silver, or gold. USA minus 200. China plus 150. Wow. Russia 10-1. Australia 50-1. Great Britain 80-1 in the field 60-1. Obviously, we're going to win this.
Yeah, it's a freak minus 200.
I mean, we dominate the track and field. We win so many more medals in the track and field and swimming than China. China has to make it all up in the gymnastics and diving. I don't think they can.
Why don't you hedge your bet? Throw a couple bucks on China, but go heavy on the U.S.
I'd say just go U.S.
All right, yeah, minus 200 plus 150.
Let's see what else
probably
we got. We got most gold medals.
USA.
Basically the same lines. So then we got, let's see, what else? Total gold medal? Oh, all right. So you can do over under 38.5 gold medals for the U.S.
Over.
Yep. I'm with you there. Over. Even money.
How could you bet under?
Yeah. Well, all right. So men's 100. Who will win the 100-meter dash?
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps, not on the list. Usain Bolt, minus 250. He's clearly going to win. This, unless he gets hurt, I guess. But this seems like a low line, to be honest with you.
They're giving these minus 200 lines for sure things. Are they just hoping losers chase
the odds? All right, speaking of sure things, USA basketball to win the gold medal.
What is it?
What, give me a guess.
Minus 400?
Minus 1,000.
I still like it.
Yeah. Lay 100,000 to win 10,000. Thank us later. I don't know what else they got. Let's see here. We got women's basketball. USA minus 1,000. Just parlay those two.
Yeah, you never know. There's a lot of variables in women's basketball. When their cycle is, that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Well, you can bet on tennis gold medal. Who gives a shit, right?
I agree.
Yeah, Wimbledon's going on. And Nadal, did you see the controversy?
No.
Rafa Nadal. So he lost. He lost in the second round of some Czech dude who was ranked 100th. And sometime during the match, he was getting frustrated. And when they were switching side mid-game or whatever, after the third game or whatever, he gave him a shoulder bump. This is big controversy in the tennis world.
That's hilarious.
God,
tennis is soft.
Yeah. Oh, other things we have. The Tour de France is coming up.
Oh, okay.
That's the same as that will be on the British Open episode. Same week. A
lot of downloads. A lot of people betting.
You
British
know what
Open.
We almost forgot to talk about, Sean?
No.
Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Oh, yes. Next of Wednesday. Course there's. What now? What's going on? Is Kobayashi in?
Kobayashi not in the field.
God damn it.
Yeah, well, he was cheating. So if you want to bet.
Wait, right, he was cheating?
I don't know. Probably. Oh. Odds to win. Field plus 600. Joey Chestnut minus 1,000.
This is like the USA basketball.
Over, under. Margin of victory. Over, under 9.5 hot dogs. Wow.
Wow.
How many hot dogs does Joey Chestnut eat? Oh, well, I'll tell you. Over, under is set at 63.5. That's insane. In what, 12 minutes?
I'll take the under. I'll take the under on Joey Chestnut hot dogs at 63.5.
How is he still alive?
Hopefully for not much longer.
That's unbelievable.
So what's our official picks? Do we go Joey Chestnut or do we go to the field?
I mean, yeah, Joey Chestnut, if he's expected to win by 10 hot dogs, I feel like that's a sure thing.
All right, so we take Joey Chestnut minus 1,000. What do you like, over or under?
Take the under. That's a lot of hot. I mean, I don't think I could eat more than like 6 hot dogs.
Oh, Ryan, you're not in the contest. You can't compare yourself to these people.
All right. So we should also probably touch on some election props, right?
Sure.
So you follow this bullshit, right, Sean?
Occasionally, yeah.
Vice president nomination for the Republicans? Any?
Oh, man. I have no idea even who to pick for the field.
This list is too long to even talk about. But the favorite appears to be Marco Rubio. We letting some foreigner into the office?
Not in my America.
Tim Pawlenty, Rob Portman. God, Republicans have such politicians in general have such douchey names. All right, let's just
maybe have cool ones like Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, let's go straight to the election. Wow, when I last looked at this, Obama was running away. All right, so to win the election, Mitt Romney plus 110, Barack Obama minus 130. Do you feel it's that close in real life?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Is it just people are so hell-bent on the fact that his approval rating is the lowest ever? No president has been reelected with an approval rating this low?
Yeah, but that's just kind of the world we're living in. I don't see how he doesn't win this. Especially after
Mitt
his Obama,
is a retard.
His Obamacare just passed. I feel like that kind of emboldens him. I mean, I guess the argument is that it motivates other people to vote against him, but I think he wins it. In a pretty decisive manner.
Minus 130. There's some value there, Sean.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And also, this is a rare time where you can personally affect your own bet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to make a huge difference, but, you know, if I could throw one pitch for the Phillies, you know, maybe I'd feel a little bit more confident about my bet.
Against the Phillies?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, for us especially, California is not going to be a red state, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine Mitt Romney pulling away with things.
So that's – well, and then the other thing we can quickly touch on is arena football. Have you been keeping up?
Wait, the arena league is back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it'll be a little too late. Going Friday night, the Arizona Rattlers are laying 6.5 in Spokane facing the Shock.
Give me the Rattlers.
Yeah. Why not? I don't know shit about that.
Ryan, that's what we got to start doing now over at our Twitter handle, at Sports Gambling Podcast.
Arena League Football
Podcast.
And WNBA Basketball?
Yeah, you pick Arena League, I'll pick WNBA. Right. We'll just start. I went 5-0 the first time I did it.
Nice.
And I was really pissed off I didn't actually bet real money because women's basketball is not actually a real sport. But
yeah, I'm not sure you can actually bet. You can bet on the WNBA. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, our site has the WNBA.
Wow.
All right, Ryan, I felt like we got it all going. To at Gambling Podcast for more picks on the Olympics. Baseball. Ryan, you need to get back
into
baseball.
Sean will be live tweeting during the Europa final.
Yes.
You guys should follow that.
This is horseshit.
11:30 on you don't actually have – that's the gimmick, Sean. You don't watch the game. You just tweet gay shit about soccer.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah. I don't know when the game is. It's probably, what, Sunday?
Sounds right.
Yeah, it's Sunday. Sunday at 11:45 Pacific. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure you check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Hit that Amazon link. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us. Give us a 5-star approval rating.
Oh, yeah,
what's our rating, Sean? It's off the charts, Kramer.
Yeah?
It's off the charts.
Is it a 6?
I don't know. I actually haven't checked the iTunes ratings, but I know it's important. So make sure you guys do that. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Green Room Show. He's at KramerCentric for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan
Kramer.
Let it ride.